Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it's Wednesday night. Time for words of wisdom. Plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. It's always an honor and a privilege to be able to come before the people of God as we explore the Word of God together. You know, we meet every Wednesday night ready to hear a word from God. But I just want to ask, what do we do with the word once we hear it? All of us should be committed to trying to be better tomorrow than we were today. You know, the way that everything is situated, and if you really pay a close attention, God realized that man could never, in and of himself, save himself, number one, or would be able to live a total righteous life. That's why the Bible teaches us when God sent his son and we accepted his son, God extended his righteousness towards us. But we have a responsibility and we have a God-given duty to try to sin less by the power that God has invested in us. And that should be our goal. Well, tonight our lesson is coming from the book of Philippians. We're going to be in the fourth chapter. We're going to expound on the fourth chapter, the 5th through the 19th verse. The title of our lesson is, Thank God for what you have and trust him for what you need. If we could just understand that and begin to allow that to be our way of life, I believe that life will get easier for us because God never intended for us to be burdened down and tossed and driven on each side by every little piece of religion that people try to label us with, that they try to beat us down with, and we in and of ourselves begin to feel so bad because we didn't do enough of this or do enough of that. But God has made a way, and his way is perfect. But we also have a responsibility. So with that being said, I'm going to play a song, and the title of the song is Forever. Because in this song, the songwriter is saying that God loves us forever. So as you listen to this song, and the title of the lesson, that is, you know, if you trust God, you know, and thank God, his love is going to be there. God cannot love you more today than he loved you yesterday. God loves us forever and eternally. So we should, you know, hold on to that. Stop looking at what we ain't doing and look at what God has done. Stop trying to be who we think we should be and understand who God has created us to be. So I'm going to go ahead and play the song. We'll come back and explore the Word of God together. Thank you. Hallelujah. Forever is a long time. You know, there was a lot of things that were said in a song that if we just hold on to, you know, we could be better. You know, the record say God is committed to you. He's committed to you. That's pretty good. We have to realize and rest in what God has done, what God is doing, and what God has promised to do. Because there's twists and turns in this thing called life. You know, you might question where you are right now in life and wonder, you know, how you didn't get to where you wanted to be that you thought you wanted to be at. You know, they may have trials and tribulations on every side, adversities and mishaps. But God doesn't change. And he said, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So he's right in the middle of whatever is going on in your life. Trust him. Thank him. And you'll be able to see the salvation of the Lord. At this time, it's time to go to the throne of grace for prayer. And if anyone would like to pray, you could press the 1 button on your phone. And I'll open the mic. Would anyone like to pray? God is extending the opportunity. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the giver of every perfect gift, my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my Redeemer. Lord, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, dear God, because you're such a good God. I want to thank you for everything you have done in my life, in the life of your people. Thank you, dear God, for your mercy, and thank you for your grace. Thank you, dear God, for being long-suffering. Thank you, dear God, for being gentle with us when we are not gentle with one another. That you stay consistently loving us when we sometimes can't extend love towards anyone. Lord, I'm asking that you look down upon us, dear God, each and every one of us individually and collectively. Lord, I know that some people stand right now in the need of one thing, and someone else is standing in the need of something else. But God, you say you're a way maker. You're the one that can take and make a crooked road straight. Hallelujah. You're the one that can open doors that no man can open, and close doors that no man can close. You are the essence of all of our lives, dear God. And I say thank you. Lord, we need you right now. We can't make it without you. Lord, just allow us to stay connected as we know you would do, but teach us how to stay connected to you. Help us, dear God, in all that we need to do. Direct us, dear God, because we know not the way. Heavenly Father, just be with us, guide us, protect us, love us with your loving kindness and your tender mercy. Because, Lord, we can't make it without you. Heavenly Father, all these blessings and others, I ask in your darling Son Jesus' name for all of our sake. Amen, and thank God. That's our prayer for tonight. We have more callers that have called in. So I'm going to say the title of the lesson again is Thank God for What You Have and Trust Him for What You Need. We come in from the book of Philippians, the 4th chapter, the 5th through the 19th verse. And I have a little background tonight, and the background information is still on Paul. The reason I, you know, give reference to Paul so much to you guys, because I want you to know who wrote the book, why the book was written, who it was written to, because that can give you some insight as you read the Word of God and begin to comprehend its meaning. You see, Paul wrote the book of Philippians, and what he was doing was writing to a church that was in Philippi. The people who lived there were the Philippians. Philippi was the city. They opened the church, and it was the church of Philippi. You see, Paul wrote this particular letter because the books that Paul wrote, which he did 13 in the New Testament, are also called letters, and they're also called epistles. So Paul wrote this particular letter while he was in prison in Rome. So if I tell you Paul was in prison when he wrote this letter, and you read through the verses and the chapters in the book, you could understand where he's coming from. You see, the book contains only 4 chapters. So I encourage each and every one of you, if you would like to read the whole book, it would be a good thing. You see, the letter to the Philippians is called in the Bible Paul's Joy Letter. Now, that's amazing that Paul wrote a letter that's placed in the Bible, and he's in prison in Rome, and yet the theologians all test of time, has considered this as Paul's love letter. Because in it, he's given praise unto God, even though his situation didn't look so bright. You see, this letter emphasizes the real joy of a Christian life. See, Paul was faithful. Paul was committed. Paul was a Christian in season, out of season, good times and bad times and all of that. You see, we all know that happy only happens when something you want to happen happens. That's happy. See, most people don't know about joy, and they only seeking to be happy. You see, but happy can only happen when you want something to happen, happens. You see, but joy is able to stand in the midst of the storm through all your trials and tribulations, even when you have or you don't have. You see, joy is the gift that has been given to us in Christ Jesus. When you accepted Christ, you received the gift of joy. Now, if you got the gift of joy, you don't realize it, you don't understand it, you don't know what the Word of God says, and you don't, you know, expound on it and meditate on it, you might can't conceive it. You see, we should rejoice with Paul as we read the book of Philippians and rededicate ourselves to finding joy in Christ. You know, anything you need, God got it. He said, ask, and it shall be given. You know, sometimes when you pray, say, Lord, restore my joy. Lord, I heard about this thing called joy, and let me understand it, and the Holy Ghost is going to work with you. You know, the Holy Ghost is doing what he's supposed to do 24/7, 365. And many times I believe that he's speaking to you and you not responding or listening. And then the other thing is that the Holy Ghost could take everything that you have put in you concerning God and his will and his way and his word. And I tell you all the time, I can only give information, but the Holy Ghost give illumination and revelation. So if you putting something in, the Holy Ghost can manifest it and give you the pure understanding of it. So when you pray, ask God for joy. Ask him to give you understanding of it and ask him how can you achieve it and how can you hold on to it. You see, joy is what allows us to be thankful in season and out of season. No matter what we are facing in life, if you have the joy of God in your life, you can make it. I know sometimes we might have joy and we have faith and we believe in God and we trust God, but a situation comes. And you know, sometimes the ingredients is just right where we just don't feel like we have no more fight. And we might wallow in it for a little while. But you see, when you come through, joy is leading the way. When you get that breakthrough, joy is leading the way. But I just want to let you know, if you want the joy and peace that God has provided for you, ain't no guessing in this game. I'm not saying I think if you want it. The Bible teaches us that if you want this joy and peace that God has already extended towards you through Jesus Christ, what you have to do? You have to begin thanking God for what you have. You know, when you got a grateful heart about what you have, none of that crazy don't come in about what you don't have because you're too busy thanking God for what you have. And I could tell each and every one of us that it could be worse. You might not have as much as some people have, but you have way more than others. And I'm not just talking about financial or material things. Because you see, you might be praying for a pair of shoes and you look on the news and you see a man with no feet. You know, you might wear eyeglasses and you praying to God because you want these designer eyeglasses. You know, your lens going to be the same. It's just going to be the frame that's different. And here we see the man on Channel 4 News in New Orleans, Tyreganda. He's going blind. He's training right now how to walk with a stick. You see, so if we really look around and pay attention to what's going on, and we truly begin to thank God for what we have, and once you truly do that, you could begin to trust Him for what you need. Because you got to realize that everything you have, God is the one gave that. It's not because you were so good or you did so well or you read the Bible every day or you prayed every day. But God still allowed all of us to wake up this morning, started us on our way. And I'm sure, late as it is today, you have eaten more than one time. Thank God for what you have. And begin to trust Him for what you need. Because we have to realize that He has established everything for us according to His riches and glory. And we're going to go ahead into the lesson tonight. And we're going to be in Philippians for those who just got on. And if you got your Bible, turn to Philippians, the 4th chapter. And we're going to start at the 5th verse. And the scripture reads, "Let your moderation be known unto men. The Lord is at hand." Moderation here means your gentleness, be kind, you know, help one another. Your moderation be known to all men. You know, forgive all men, love all men, help all men. Be concerned about all men, pray for all men. That's what that's telling you. And then he tell you why. Paul wrote this. He said, because the Lord is at hand. He letting you know Jesus is coming back. And then he goes on to say, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. When he say carefully wanting for nothing, that means don't be anxious. Don't be sitting down worrying. Don't sit down and shut yourself up. I don't feel like talking to nobody. I'm you know, and all of these things. But in everything by prayer and supplication. And that supplication means, you know, do it with a pure heart. Do it honestly and earnestly and humbly. That's the way you go to God. You humble yourself. And then with thanksgiving, and you be thankful. And let your request be known unto God. And he said, if you do that, the peace, verse 7, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ. So he just gave you the formula. He told you why you should do it, and he told you how to achieve it. And then he told you if you do it, what you're going to receive. You see, that's how we should read the Bible. Let your moderation be known to all men. Treat everybody right. He said, because the Lord is coming back. And 6, he said, be careful for nothing. Stop worrying about everything and being anxious, because you ain't in control anyway. But with everything, pray and do it humbly and with thanksgiving. Come on, y'all. He's saying, if you do that, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ. You see, sometimes, and in moderation, the way you speak to people, you see the word moderation here means gracious and reasonable. This is letting us know that we should be at peace all time with everyone. That's what it's telling us. You know, and watch how we talk to one another. We have to watch how we talk to one another because words can destroy. You see, sometimes the problem is not what we say, but how we say it. Words once said cannot be taken back. Always remember, sometimes it's better to keep silent and just listen. Because it takes two to tangle. And, you know, plenty of times people say, well, she pushed me to do this. But it takes two to tangle. There's a scripture in Proverbs 26 and 4 that say, don't answer the foolish arguments of fools, or you will become as foolish as they are. You know, that's why they say, you know, when somebody's drunk, it don't make, you can't make rationale in an irrational situation. Somebody is drunk, so drunk they don't even remember who they are. But you trying to make them do the, all of these sensible things. It don't make sense. It will not happen. You see, harsh words are full of anger, envy, and strife. And those kind of words could get you in trouble, and, you know, it's hard to get, it's easy to get in and hard to get out. And this scripture is letting us know that with God, all lives matter. Then it's telling us Jesus is coming back and how we should treat one another. They say it's being noticed by Jesus. You know, when we die, we're not going to be judged for our sins, but we're going to be judged for our speech, how we treated one another, how we spoke to one another. So that's why Paul threw that in. He said, look, I'm just telling you, Jesus, you know, that the Lord is at hand. He's coming back. It's amazing when Jesus was asked what was the most important commandment out of all of the commandments. And, you know, we familiar with the Ten Commandments, but there were 613 laws, which was sort of commandments also. And Jesus summed it up to two. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. You see, when Jesus left and went back to the Father and sit at the right hand of God, you know, and God is going to determine a time because no one else can but God when Jesus is coming back. And all of Jesus' teaching while he walked the earth in his ministry of 3 years was trying to teach us how to get along and be profitable to one another. You know, that's the hardest thing it seemed like in this world. Everybody is angry with everybody. You know, some people think they afforded more privilege than others. They don't want the Mexicans in the United States like if they created it. They don't want the women to have a rightful place in the workplace because they saying, you know, it's just envy on each side. Everywhere you look, you know, white and black and all of these things. Jesus was telling us how to live. He walked on earth teaching for 3 years to get us to understand how to live. Once you accepted Christ, you became a citizen in the kingdom of God. And in that kingdom, you should want to be a good citizen. And you should want to do the things that God has already gave us examples, wrote 66 books, gave the Holy Spirit to live in us to teach us how to do it. And yet, it seemed to be one of the hardest things to happen in today's times. Relationships is at an all-time low. You know, in the Bible, there's the scripture was saying when the time would be the end of the time would be near. Mothers would be against daughters, daughters against mothers, and all of these things. And that is so prevalent today. Families is cracked up. It also make me think sometime and understand a little bit better, not fully, how could Cain kill Abel? And I don't know if Adam and Eve had other children at that time. And if they hadn't had, if they hadn't had any more children, it was Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. And how could you get that mad? But families, it is so many years, y'all, because Jesus, from Jesus to now is over 2,000 years. And I'm not sure, but I think that the Old Testament was 4,000 years. Then it had 400 years between the Testaments. They got all these preachers and teachers, radio stations and satellite and, you know, preachers on the internet, and families are divided. Sisters hating sisters and sisters hating brothers and brothers hating sisters and nobody's, you know, I ain't saying nobody, but there's a lot of cases where nobody getting along. So he said a peace that's a passive understanding. God ain't going to be in the middle of a mess. And some of the reasons if anybody is not getting along with somebody else because they can't forgive them for what they did. Look what Jesus forgave you for. He didn't forgive you for some. He forgave you for all. Some people are mad with other people because they're setting expectations on their lives. They're setting expectations on someone else's life. And when those expectations are not met, they're angry. But, you know, when I thought about that, I said, wow. You know, I don't have the right to set, you know, we hope for certain things for certain people, but not to a degree when they don't do it, it make you angry because I have expectations that I set on myself that I haven't achieved. So if I can't achieve all of my expectations for my whole self, just for me, how do you think the expectations you setting on others got to be fulfilled? I just want y'all to know that none of this is the words that I'm playing. But before I started, I told the Holy Ghost that I was sort of drained, and not really drained, but, you know, that I would empty myself and he could have his way. So y'all listen. And I'm going to listen because it's new to me. Not that the words are new, but the way they're being said for the reason they be saying and for the season and right now for a time like this. God is trying to tell us also in the scripture, whenever you start to worry, stop and pray. The scripture told us we should do it with supplication and thanksgiving. And ask humbly. You know, the reason I could take and come up with this title is because if you thank God for what you have and trust him for what you need, there's the most important thing for us here on earth is to know that we have eternal life. And God has already put that on lockdown, if you believe it. You know, our citizenship in Christ's kingdom is sure. Our destiny is set, and we have victory over sin. And you might say, well, then I still commit some sins. Yeah, you're gonna commit some. No one is perfect. But the victory that you have over sin is because Jesus took them away. And you're not going to. Think about that. If you look at verse 8, 9, it says, finally, brothers, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on those things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You have to watch what you think about. You have to watch. You know, it's an important thing that I learned some time ago where I say, you know, I really have to protect my spirit. You have to protect your spirit. You have to watch. You know, if you go around certain people, they're not going to do nothing but bring your try to steal your joy. There's some people you go around when you leave, you feeling bad. Come on, y'all. You have to learn to have the spirit of discernment and know when and when not to. You see, what we put into our mind determines what's come out in our words and even our action. God has given us his word, and we should think on what God has said, not how we feel or what we see. But fill our mind and speak our words in faith. Lord, I don't know where the next meal is going to come from, but I trust you. Don't just sit down and concentrate on the problem. Concentrate on the one who could solve the problems. And stop telling your, you know, God how big your problems are. But start telling your problem how big your God is. You see, you got to have faith in God because Hebrews 1 and 11 say, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see, faith never says you have to see it. To achieve it. If we had to see it, none of us would be saved. We believe that Jesus is who he is, even though we haven't seen him. You know, the Bible says, how blessed is those who never got to see him and believe than the ones who saw the miracles and changing water into wine and splitting the Red Sea and guided by a cloud at night and a fire at night and a cloud in the day. And come on, y'all. They believe. But we haven't seen, and yet we believe. So again, I tell you, faith never says that you have to see it to achieve it or to fully understand it, but you got to believe it. That's why God demands faith, because there's no other way for us to achieve it. We have to be careful what we let into our mind. Satan is putting all kinds of distractions in our path. Fear. Ooh, we walk around in fear, but fear is not of God. There's so much hatred, that's going around, which is not of God, because God is love. And lies. You know, they had the man on the TV today, Comey, whatever his name is, And he was testifying, you know, about the president and all the lies. And at one point, I think his lawyer said, or he said, that the people who kept asking him the questions wasn't mad because he lied before. They were mad because he decided to stop lying. What kind of world do we live in? You know, a lie is not of God because God is true. And even though the devil is busy, you have to remember that many things that the devil set up for you bad, God can turn it around for you good. Just think on Job and his outcome. He got double for his trouble. You got to watch out certain things like TV, internet, certain books, ungodly conversations, movies, and even magazines are used by Satan to distract you and place thoughts in your mind trying to get you to accept his perception. Now, I'm not telling you not to look at TV, read books, magazines, or whatever. But, you know, not everything dealing with these things are bad. But you have to examine yourself. You decide. Some people can look at anything and they're all right. You know? But you got to watch what you allow into your spirit. You know, the Bible say we should guard our heart and our mind in Christ Jesus. Remember, whatever you feed, that's what's going to grow. And with all of these things, if you get up at 8 o'clock in the morning and you go to sleep at 8 o'clock at night, you up 12 hours in a day. And usually it's more, I'm sure. Or you get up later. You know, do the math. And you look at TV for 7 hours a day, the internet for three. That's 10 hours. Examine yourself. Because it's not good enough to just read the Word of God or hear the Word of God or even just to know it. We have to start putting it into practice by holding on to the confession of our faith. The book of James said, be not doers of the word. Be ye doers of the word and not just hearers only. Because that way you're only deceiving yourself. You know, some people are staying up in your face toe to toe. Tell you, I go to church every Sunday. And I know the word of God. And you know, their action and their lives might not lined up. Their speech might not lined up. But you know, the Bible asks us, God asks each and every one of us to let our light so shine that men could see the good works and give God the glory. We have to realize we don't just, you know, everything we do, it affects others. In our homes, and on our jobs, at our church, you know the ones that are faithful and the ones that's not. And I didn't come to tell you tonight that you have to be perfect, because this is my new thing that I really know and I understand, that I am not perfect. Not only that, I cannot be perfect, but I can be faithful. So tonight I ask you, are you faithful in the things of God that you have obtained to this point? Because everybody's not on the same level. And God say he don't ask from nothing. He don't ask from you anything. Because he distributes things to do according to your ability. He not going to ask me to do some of the things he may ask you to do. But what he asks each of us to do, if all of us did it collectively, we'll be a well-oiled machine. They say the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And if we look at verse 10 through 13, It says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care for me flourished again. This Paul telling the people in Philippians, in Philippi, the church of Philippians. He said, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me flourish again. See, Paul was in prison, and they had the Philippians used to give to him, but something happened, and they didn't have what Paul speaks about. They didn't have the opportunity, but it had stopped. But now they began to send, you know, money or things that he needed. He says, so I rejoice greatly in the Lord that now at this last your care for me flourish again, wherein ye was also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. 11, now that I speak in respect of want. He said, now, thank you for sending me this. I appreciate it. I need it. He said, but let me tell you something. Now I speak in respect of want. He said, listen, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, wherewith to be content. I know both how to abase, to be down, and I know how to abound, which means go be up. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer needs. Paul said, you know, it's been plenty of times I ain't have. Paul was in prison more than one time. And the crazy part about it, he didn't do nothing wrong. And that's why I was talking about the relationship earlier. You know, they was just, you know, hating on him because he had decided to follow Christ. He said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. And I'm going to go to verse 19 now. He said, but my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Paul said, what I have, I'm happy. What I don't have, I'm happy. Because I'm going to thank God for what I have. And Paul said, I'm going to continue to trust God for everything I need. And you know, it may not come when you want it, but God is an on-time God. Look back at your life and give God the praise, the honor, and the glory for all that he has done in your life. You see, Paul didn't accept support from everyone because he didn't want them to think that he was only doing it for money. He accepted the money from the Philippians because they were willing givers, and really at the time he needed it. But he was also letting them know that it was the church's responsibility to support God's ministers. No matter what he have or didn't have, he would be content because he was thankful. You know, Paul could be content because he, watch this, and this is where we need to be trying to get. Paul could be content because he could see life from God's point of view. And he was always thankful to God for what he had done, was doing, and promised to do. How can we find true commitment? The answer lies in our perspectives, our priorities, our appetites, and who is our source. You know, it's never what you go through in life, it's who you go through it with. Paul was also the one said, no weapon that formed against him would be prospered. Plenty of weapons form against you every day, but they don't prosper. They didn't say no weapons would not form against you. But the weapons that does form against you will not prosper. You know, the doctor may say you only have 5 days to live, and now you in year 55. Come on, y'all. The doctor might have told you your child would never walk, and now they're running in Olympics. There's a football player I saw the other day. I don't know his name. He didn't have no hands, little bitty skinny arm. And I'm sure the doctors told them that he wouldn't be able to do much in life. And he's on a professional football team. See, many things going to form up against us. But they ain't all, they're not going to prosper. You got to learn to be content while waiting for your change to come. You know, money is a funny thing, and it's magnetic. And giving is always so stressful to some people. But I want you to know tonight that giving is not just for the receiver, but it is also for the giver as well, so that it can be accounted to your account. You see, earlier Paul said that the Lord is at hand. Jesus is coming back, and he's going to be wanting to know what you did in the kingdom. You see, many of us know how to give, but we don't know how to receive. You see, and we should accept gifts so that the giver can receive credit to their account. You may be the only person they are willing to give to. And with you showing them thankfulness for their gift, it may encourage them to give to others as well. We can trust that God will always meet our need. And we know he's willing and he's able, because the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, and everything that dwell in. Whatever we need on earth, he will always supply. And he done took care of us in eternity. It's just waiting till we come on in. Your place, my place. Hallelujah. Oh, what joy it is. You see, the provisions are in place for you. You have to trust it, cooperate with it, and live within it. You must remember the difference between our wants and our needs. Most people want to feel good and avoid discomfort and pain. But I want you to know tonight that sometime when there is no pain, there is no gain. We may get all that we want by trusting in Christ. We may not always get everything we want by trusting in Christ. Our attitude and want appetite can be changed from wanting everything to accepting his provision and power to love him, which is our reasonable service. If you begin to thank God for what you have and truly trust him for what you need, which is to say that God knows best, he woke you up this morning, started you on your way. Every piece of food you ate, and the shoes on your feet, and all of your health, your strength comes from God. In spite of everything that you've been going through, you should be able to say thank you. In Matthew's, the Bible tells us that Jesus said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But we are the ones that make it complicated. God did not make a plan for us that we would never be able to achieve. And there is nothing that will happen to us that has not already happened, because there's nothing new under the sun. So as I close tonight, I want to just let you know, God is working all things out for your good. Thank him in your good times, while you're going through, and especially when you come out. In all things, be content and give God the praise, because he's worthy to be praised. So just thank him for what you have and trust him for everything that you will ever need. And you'll see how awesome of a God he is. And that's our lesson for tonight. It is now 9:27. If anyone would like to pray, if anyone need prayer, if anyone want to give a word. Oh, I need to tell you guys, I'm not going to be on the air next week. I'm going on vacation with my grandson. Many of you that have been listening for a while know every year I take my grandson on a cruise. We're going to leave Saturday, and we're coming back on Thursday, and I'm asking that you guys pray for me for traveling grace and pray that we receive the rest that God is going to orchestrate in this trip that we're having, you know, and that God will fill me up. Because I promise if he provide the fire, I'll become the sacrifice. And every time he provide his spirit, I'm going to continue to open up inside. So I pray that God fill me up. So I won't be here next Wednesday. I think that's February the 6th. But I'll be back on the 13th. So if anyone would like to pray, anyone would like to say anything, if not, I'm going to just continue to thank God for what I have, because I feel truly blessed. And I'm going to continue to trust him, because he said, the Bible says he's the author and the finisher of your faith. The word of God says Jesus is the love of your soul. And God has never forsaken me. He said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Am I saying that everything I ever wanted, everything? But there's so many things God do for me that I never even thought about. It wasn't even a desire in my mind. I just couldn't see. But you see, in the word of God, it teaches us, and before the world was created and before the foundation of the world was laid, that God had an intended purpose for all of our lives. And he uses all of our life experiences to get us there. Caller, your number is 504-259-976. Your mic is open.
I just called to say a prayer for you, Sister Diane.
Okay. Go ahead, babe, because I surely need it.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, show to thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace, Father God. We thank you for this day here, for this is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Father God, I thank you once again for Sister Diane, Father God. God, I thank you for how she continued to pull herself out, Father God, on Wednesdays, Father God, through Bible study, Father God, through praying, through singing, Father God, how she continued to carry on, Father God, your word, Father God. God, we thank you once again on Tuesdays, Father God, for the work that she's done, Father God. God, I ask that you continue to encourage her, Father God, because she is definitely an encouragement to us, Father God. God, I ask that you pour back into her, Father God, everything that you take from her to give to us, Father God, that you restore her, replenish her, Father God, through your word, Father God, for inspiring your word, Father God. God, we thank you that she stands, Father God, on your word, Father God, proclaiming your word, Father God, to us, Father God. So, God, once again, I thank you for traveling grace, Father God, for her and her grandson, Father God, that they have them a wonderful and good time, Father God. And while she on that vacation, Father God, let her rest. Let her rest in you, Father God. Let her rest in your peace and your joy, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God. God, I thank you that when her enemy come, that they never could say, where's her God, Father God? God, I ask that you raise the standards all day, all night, all noonday, Father God. God, I thank you for just blessing her, Father God, spiritually, Father God, physically, Father God, financially, Father God, and mentally, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God. Once again, I thank you for her grandson. I thank you for the love Father God, that she have for us and for her grandson, Father God. So once again, God, encourage her and let her know that she's doing a great job, Father God. She's doing a wonderful job. She's doing a powerful job, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God. She's standing on your word and your promises, Father God. Oh, God, we give you praise, we give you honor, and we glorify you tonight, Father God, for her, Father God. We thank you for the radio talk show, Father God. God, we ask that you continue to keep it on the air, Father God. We thank you for the past, how you have kept it on the air all this time, Father God. We thank you for the presence, Father God, for today, and we thank you for the future, for being on the air in the future, Father God. God, we thank you for your word just reaching out to many people, Father God, that we continue to be strengthened, Father God, that we continue to be in unity, Father God. Oh, God, if I had 1,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. And if I had 1,000 tongues, I'd praise you with every one of them, Father God. Once again, we thank you for Diane, Father God. We ask that you continue to encourage her, Father God, and let her know that she's doing a great job in your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thank you so much, sister. Can I have your name, if you don't mind?
I'm Valencia, Sister Valencia West.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Sister Valencia, because, you know, one thing I need right now is prayer. You know, all I could tell y'all is I felt the need that I needed prayer, and I thank you so much, Sister Valencia.
You're quite welcome.
And thank God for you. See, God supply all you need. I told the Holy Ghost, I need somebody to pray for me. See, that's
Amen.
How you know when God can use. So God is using
yes.
you, Sister Valencia. I put out a request with thanksgiving and supplication. And then God gave
Amen.
You that allowed me to have peace in the midst of whatever it is. So I thank you,
yes.
Sister. God is using you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And stay encouraged. Stay. Yeah.
I'm sorry, what'd you say, baby?
I say stay encouraged. Stay encouraged, yes. God is doing a mighty work in you and through you.
Thank you so much. You know, because we, you know, and I don't know anything that will stop me from doing what God, you know, has given me in my hand. But, you know, everybody need encouragement sometime.
Yes, because
we're human.
Yes. Right.
And I thank you for that.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Okay, you enjoyed your
caller, your number is 35562. Your mic is open.
Well, hello, Miss Diane. This is Kathy Foxworth. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
And I just want to I know you are, love. I've been knowing you, Miss Diane. I don't even want to think about how long I've been knowing you. I've been knowing you that long. But whatever time I've been knowing you, it's been a pleasure. And I love you. My dad loves you. My mom in heaven loves you. You know all my brothers love you. And I wish you the best, you and Madison, on your cruise. And I know God is going to bring you safely back. And I want you to enjoy yourself. And I know even though you be on your cruise and trying to enjoy yourself, you're going to think about us, you're going to think about God, you're going to think about everything because you're just that kind of person. I know
yes,
you.
Yes, I will.
Love you. Love Madison. Love your whole family. She knew all of them, your sisters, your auntie, I know them all. Took care of your dad. So that's how far we go back. But I was just calling in to just thank God one more time again for the ministry that you do. And I'm so pleased by being an empowered black woman like you are, which my mom was too. And I just have you. I had her, my grandmother. And I'm just glad I have those type of people in my life because it keeps me encouraged and it keeps me going on because we live in a troubled time. But I have a request, as I always do. I have a student, special education student, that name is Maddie Lala. And if anyone knows about the disease called Hunter's, this little girl has it, and her 3-month-old sister has it as well. And she's gone under transfusion and will be seen going through chemotherapy. It's a lot going on in the Lala family, so I'm asking the prayer for myself and my family and their family. And I'm asking prayer, hopefully she's listening tonight, which is your church member, my ex-choir director and sister in faith, Sister Janice. I'm asking for prayer for her. I'm just asking prayer for people and for the world because we all need it. And I enjoyed the message tonight. I always enjoy it. And I just hope the good Lord continue to keep on doing what you're doing because you're touching a whole lot of people. And the fact that I even know you. It's what I do. I really appreciate that. So you have a safe trip, and I'll be looking forward to seeing you when you come back, and God bless you and your family.
Thank you so much,
and you
Mr. Kathy.
You're welcome. You have a
I
good
will.
Night. All right.
Thank you. Caller, your number is 324-68. Your mic is open.
Hello, Minister Diane and everybody listening. I'm Sister Maddie. Minister Diane, that was an awesome message tonight. God truly used you to deliver the word. And I just want to lift you up in prayer continuously, even as you go on your trip. Tonight, I would like to attempt to play the song that the Holy Spirit had given me. And the title of it is Learn How to Trust Him. You all can let me know if you hear it or not. Is it okay for me to
What
I'm going to
do is I'm going to get the comments from the other people, and I'm going to get to the end. And what we'll do is do a short benediction, because if people start getting off the line, the ones who want to still stay on, I have the time to stay on. We're going to encourage them and let them hear it. So just hold on, Sister Maddie. I'm coming back to you.
Okay.
All right. Caller, your number is 22337. Your mic is open. Caller, your number is 223.
Hello, Sister Diane.
Hello.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, I'm Sister Janice Morris, member of your church. I'm the one
Hallelujah.
That Catherine was talking about. I saw chemo and radiation on the 11th, and I want you to pray for me.
Yeah, my whole Bible study is going to pray, and we have a prayer list that one of our Wednesday night lady, Sister Pam, is keeping up. And I don't know if you understood all the way, Pam, but her name is Janet Morris. And we will put you on the list. And everybody on the station and all around the world, we ask that they pray for people who ask for prayer. So your name is going to be lifted up high, and we're going to continue to pray for you. And we just ask, when you get your praise report, call us back and let us know.
I certainly will. Thank you so much.
Thank you, my sister.
And bless you so much.
And you as well.
And also have
caller, your number is 985-7471. Sister Diane McBride, your line is open.
Hello, Sister Diane. I just want to say I love you. I thank you. We met in a peculiar way, and I know it was God sent. I just love you. I bless you. I wish everything for your son, your grandson, and your entire family. I just love you so, so much. You just don't
and I love
even
you
understand
as well.
How much I love you. I know you do. I know you do. I want the most for you, and I hope y'all have a fantastic always. Your blessings are just wonderful. Your sermons are just wonderful. I just love you, sister. I really do. And
I love you,
please,
back.
Stay in prayer for Derek and Dustin, my two kids. And I had surgery a few months ago. And I think it might have left me with a little dementia. And I'm having a little difficult with that. And I need another cancer surgery, female cancer. I was supposed to have it today, and I canceled it because I was just so frightened about the anesthesia. So, everybody, please pray for me, but mostly pray for Sister Diane. She is blessing all of us so much, and I love her. Okay, Sister.
I love you too, my friend. Good night.
Okay.
So, Sister Pam, if you on the line, I want to make sure you have the other names that came in, because when I get back, we're going to have the prep time, and you could call the names. But you had Derek McBride. If you on the line, you want to press the one button? If not, I'll give you a personal call. She might not be on, so I'll call her personally. Oh, there she go. Sister Pam?
Yes, see, I am, Sister Diane.
Okay, so
can
when
you
had Derek McBride, his
right,
mother
right,
is Diane McBride, and she's saying Destin. So you could put them
Destin
together for a family.
Okay,
Yeah, Destin. Dustin.
And the last
and then they
name
had,
was Janet Morris.
Janet Morris.
Okay.
And then they had Maddie Lala.
Lala, uh-huh.
Yeah, you got,
I got that one.
So next,
and Sister Kathy and family.
Yeah, Kathy Foxworth and family.
Okay.
Foxworth. And I want y'all to know that the lady that we was praying for, I told you she was 95 years old, and last Friday we buried her son, and her sister died while he was at the funeral right around the time of her son, and her funeral is Saturday, and she's 92. I'm not 95, y'all. I'm sorry. She's 92. She's blind. So, but you already have her name because her name is Esther Lucas.
Esther Lucas.
So she's
yes,
already
I
on
know.
The list. So I would I would hope that we are praying for her. But Sister Pam, next week I'm going to let you call the names because we're going to call all of the names the first week in the month. Since I'm not going to be here on the 6th, we're going to call them on the 13th. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
All right. Thank you so much for your service, Sister Pam, and God is going to truly bless you.
You're very welcome.
Thank
God bless you.
Another caller, your number is 504-340-48. Your mic is open. Caller, your number is 43048. Sister Joyce Brown, your mic is open.
Good evening, Sister Diane. I know it was getting late, and I was about not to call, but I just want to call, too, and say how much I love and appreciate you, how encouraging you are to your audience that listen to you every Wednesday night. And again, my prayer goes with you and Madison as you go on your trip. And I know that you will meet somebody on this cruise that you will tell about the love of God. There's somebody on that cruise that you will
tell them to hold on
to the confession of their faith.
I love you and God bless you.
Thank you, Sister Joyce. You know, I had so many lights blew up tonight because I asked God to let me hear from the people to know that's what's being done is not so much appreciative, but is it what is needed, you know, and God always give the provisions. And now it's I thank each and every one of you that took time and spoke out for the encouragement. I don't know, y'all can hear my voice has been picked, my voice has picked up because I came in with sort of like a low spirit. not low enough to not come on. But God has lifted me up. Hallelujah. And all I could do is say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I have another caller. Your number is 504-460. Have I done you already?
No, you haven't. Hi, my name is Sandra Oliver, and I want to thank you, Sister Diane. I've been listening to you for a while, and also I want to bless you on your trip, but I also want prayers for my sister also. I want prayers for us to get closer. My sister's name is Patrice Fernandez, and I just want to pray that we get closer as family, because it's been a while since we've been close. And I want prayers for my family, because we're going to be taking a trip next week to Disney World. So I do want I need prayers for that we make it there safely and come back safely. And I want to bless all the people that's on the line, a lot of my friends. And that's all I have, Sister Diane.
And I want to thank you, Miss Oliver,
always see
for taking
greater liberty
tonight. Okay. So let me hear your voice. You know, there's Paul who's been on here with me from day one. I don't know some of them name, and I have never had the opportunity just to hear their voice to say hello. But I thank you, Sister Oliver, for tonight. I thank God for you. I thank God that I heard your voice. The prayer warrior is going to put the names down, and we're going to lift them up. And everybody who calls into this program, know the rule is, you may not know, remember all of the names and all of the specific details of the prayer, but pray for Wednesday night Bible study. And if one person's name is sticking in your mind, call that name out to God, and God will. It's truly in the blessing getting. He let us stay on this program since 2012 for nothing. Week after week after week, faithful. And he finds favor in that, and he deliver favors unto us. But we gotta know it to snatch it and claim it by the power of God. I thank God for each and every one of you. Right now, we have another caller. Caller, your number, your area code is 904. Your mic is open.
How you doing, Sister Diane? This is Alex.
I
do believe you forgot
Brother
one
Alex.
Name on the prayer list. You forgot one name.
What's
on
the
prayer
name?
List. Yours.
Oh, thank you. Thank
well,
you, Brother
you
Alex. And I know the fam going. I'm going to get my name on there.
All right.
And I thank you, Brother Alex, for thinking about me.
You're welcome. You have safe travels.
All right. And one time you called me, and I don't think I ever got back to you. I'm going to get with you tomorrow. And if you're
okay,
not busy, we can talk.
All right.
Thank
all
you,
right.
Brother Alex.
You're welcome.
Now, I think that's all of the callers, and really it's almost 10 o'clock. So, Sister Maddie, let me get back to you. This is Samadhi.
Yes, Minister Diane.
Hello?
Yes, Minister Diane.
This is Samadhi.
Yes, Minister Diane.
Okay. And it's so late in the evening, and we still have to pray. So hold your song, because the word of God and the songs are always appropriate. And we'll definitely play it next week if you don't mind.
Okay.
But if you could lead us out in prayer, I would appreciate it.
Oh, Heavenly Father, we come before you right now in the name of Jesus, giving you all honor, glory, and praise for who you are. Father, we just want to say thank you for all things, good and bad. And we just want to just continue to lift up our teacher and minister, Diane, and her family. Lord, let them have that safe trip as we have all been praying for. And we just want to say thank you for the word that was delivered this night In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much, Sister Maddie. And if I have time before I go on my trip, I'm going to talk to you about something, Sister Maddie, that I'm going to try to see if it's possible to do, you know, for you, well, for us. But I'm going to give you a call and let you know. Okay?
Oh. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. That's our program for the night. And I want you guys to know, y'all feel like I feed y'all, but y'all fed into my spirit tonight. Y'all, you guys have given me just what I need to continue to press. And for that, I'm grateful. And I know that God answered prayers because I asked him, and he touched y'all hearts, and y'all delivered unto me. And that's our program for tonight. And I just want to tell you guys and pray that you continue to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I want you to know tonight, grow in grace and the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God is the Word of God. And we come together to explore the Word of God. And God is pleased. We're not perfect, but one thing for sure, we are faithful. In the mighty name of Jesus, thank you for tolerating the time, everyone. Thank you for calling and being with us, each and every one. Good night. I'll see you back on February the 13th. If the Lord say the same, and each and every one of you be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen and good night. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. To the name of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who took away our sins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Glory be to your wonderful name. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Good night. Hallelujah.